To lead us into Advent, we are looking at the parables. I love the parables. I find them fascinating. I think anyone that would take the time to really dive into them would find them fascinating as well. And I hope that includes you. I hope you've taken some time to wonder about the parables and wonder why it is Jesus answers questions in such a way. The parables are stories that are meant to be answers to questions. They are stories that are meant to help us imagine and know and grow within the understanding of whatever the question might have been. As we'll see in our scripture today, the parable of the sower, or the seed planter, the question of the day is, what is the kingdom of God like? That's the question Jesus has to answer the most. He has asked a lot of questions throughout his ministry, but that is by far the number one question he is asked and the number one question he answers, but he doesn't just answer it this way. I think that's what I find most fascinating about the parables, is that it's not a cut and dry, this is what it's like, here's the black and white answer. It's a story. It's a story that you can find yourself in. It's a story you can relate to. It's a story that anyone can relate to and find themselves within the story. And when he's asked, what's the kingdom of God like? All that crowd that's hearing this story can see themselves there in the story. I think that's my favorite part about the parables, is that you are part of it. And when we're talking about the kingdom of God, you are part of it. Now it comes to, what part are you? And this one is one of my favorites, the parable of the sower, the parable of the soils, the parable of the seed planter. So as we enter this scripture today, I invite you to hear it like it's the first time. Receive it like you're one in the crowd, asking Jesus himself, what's the kingdom of God like? From Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9, we'll start there. That same day, when Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. He told them many things in parables, saying, listen, a sower went out to sow, a seed planter went out to plant seeds. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. I don't know about you, but when I hear that for the first time again, when I receive it in a new way, I feel myself in there, but it feels a little bit heavy. It feels almost condemning. It makes me wonder about my status. It's not right in my face, but it's there, that uncomfortably close to home feeling. I quickly find myself wondering, well, which one am I? Am I on good ground, or am I on a rockier path than I'd thought? Am I a thriving plant or just a sprout? Or do I walk out of church every Sunday thinking I'm a thriving plant, only to be choked out midweek by the weeds with whom I've surrounded myself? I'm not alone in that wondering. I imagine you are too. I know that the disciples were, because as we go through this scripture further, we will see them wondering the same thing. We will see them wanting to know where they are in this story. But as we go further, I'm blessed, and so are you, to know that this is not about self-condemning. This is not about judgment. It's not about which seed you are or where you land. That's a misguided thought. After speaking this parable, the disciples berate Jesus with a line of questions that I'm certain confirms Jesus' suspicions that they have no idea what he's talking about. And if I know the disciples, the questions were probably something like, "Hey, Jesus, when you were saying about us being like seeds and plants, that was a neat story, but you weren't talking about me, right?" Maybe Judas. I've got some suspicions about that guy. Or I can picture James and John, those sons of thunder who argue within each other who will be at the right hand of God, of Jesus. I can picture them fighting over who is a higher fold. I'm 100-fold, you're 30-fold. But in this piece that comes next in this scripture, in this story, in these parables, they ask why he teaches in parables. If not everyone can understand, why teach that way? He even says so. All who have ears does not necessarily mean all understand. And in this one rare glimpse, Jesus tells the same parable twice. He sees the crowd not understanding. He feels them asking these questions. He knows they are struggling with the message. And he tells them again. He even explains the parts. He wants them dearly to know the truth of it, that all who have ears can hear, but not all will understand, but he's going to give it another shot. And with that, he goes on, taking his seed sowing illustration even further, telling us, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what has been sown in the heart. That is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arise on the account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. What a blessing that word is. Matthew 13:18 through 23. Jesus tells the same parable twice in a row, but this time with details, with instructions, with knowledge of who is who and where you are in this. And so when we initially receive it, when those disciples initially hear it, and we wonder about ourselves, are we on rocky ground or in deep soil? He reveals his deeper truth that this is not about where we've been planted. It's not about our circumstance. That we, our hearts, are the soil. That the seed in this case is God's word, God's love, God's presence, God's will for our lives, sprinkling down upon us. And with that, our eyes are opened, hopefully. Our minds understand what our ears have heard, hopefully. And it's beautiful. This glimpse we get into the very kingdom of God. You see, we're not the seeds. We've not just been scattered about the earth, left to the fate of our environment. No, this parable is more than that, because God's love for you is greater than that. In this parable, and therefore in God's kingdom, on earth as it is in heaven, the seed is God's word. The seed is God's love. The seed is God. And the condition of the soil in which the seed will take root is the condition of our hearts. And Jesus calls this parable the key to understanding the kingdom of God, because there's no better way to describe the loving, hands-on, daily relationship that God wants to have with you. There's no better way to describe it than in the relationship a gardener has with her garden. Nothing illustrates better than the farmer and his field, the daily perseverance and dedication it takes to maintain that loving, trusting, forgiving relationship with God. Now that we see the role God has in this scenario, we can start to understand the love, the will, and the forgiveness God has to offer with each little seed. And we can start to see that it's not all about the seed, but what you do with it. Every single seed, each will that God has for your life, every little knowledge, every little ounce of forgiveness, every seed that God is scattering, he's willing to allow it to lie dormant. Even for years, every little seed, each one has so much potential for growth and harvest. Each one of those little seeds could grow into its own deep-rooted, abundantly fruited, thriving plant. But it doesn't. It won't. And God is okay with that. He's willing to keep sowing seeds. He's willing to show himself to you and to the world, even if the conditions of your heart aren't just right, even if it's rocky at this moment. He's willing to sprout up just for a brief season. All it takes is the spark of interest from the novice gardener. That one drop of water on your behalf, and that seed will sprout. God's love will let itself be seen, even if only for a moment, even if only to be scorched or to be choked out. God is willing to let that seed sprout. In your heart, no matter your circumstance, no matter your environment, no matter the plowing or pre-work you've done to be ready to receive it, God is sowing seeds now. And in every moment, God's love will show itself on the very hope that when you see even just a little leaf sprout out of the ground, you'll want to be a better gardener. That you might grow to nurture it, that you yourself might grow to care for it, that it might take root in your heart and flourish. And since the seeds of God's love are abundant beyond our comprehension, it's not a one-shot deal. We can completely mess up. And His love is sufficient to let us start again, to retill, to pull weeds. God will sacrifice His seed, His love, His raining down of His message, His will for your life, all these seeds of heaven that are coming down, He will let them be momentary and keep sprinkling and sprinkling them, sowing them and scattering them. If it means the potential for growing in love with you. It takes time and practice and seasons to learn to farm well, to know when to plow and when to plant, to know when to water and when to wait, to know that even if the last season brought a great harvest, you can't just walk out in the spring flinging seeds expecting the same results. You must learn to open the soil of your heart to receive God's word each time it's offered. It's practice, it's discipline, it's a lifetime. Some seeds do fall along the path and they get snatched up. Does anyone completely understand every word of the scriptures? Especially the first time you've heard it? Those are God's seeds. Maybe just one leaf sprouting before they're choked out by or withered up by the sun. Potentially even unnoticed by us. We don't see it. Do we recognize every time God is showing us His love or His will for our lives? No. Those seeds sometimes land on the path. The question is, do you just move on through life or do you adjust, realizing that God is constantly sowing these seeds? Do we adjust? Maybe it's time to expand the garden, to widen the boundaries of what we can catch on healthy ground. Some seeds do fall on rocky ground. Sometimes we're given these moments of inspiration, these visions, even within a church. One or two of you might currently have some vision, some God-planted vision for what the church, the future looks like. And yet we all too often, out of fear, we don't let those take root. Because it might not look exactly like what the church looks like now. We fear for public persecution, for church persecution, for change. That seed's found shallow soil. It's no doubt time to dig deeper. Some seeds grow very tall, but they're among weeds. The depth of soil is surely adequate, but the daily maintenance is lacking. Perhaps you were deceived by those flowering plants, so pretty as they grow up so quickly, with such little work, oh, those weeds. Those weeds are not of God. They only choke out his will for us, keeping his seeds from bearing fruit. But then there's the old farmer, the master gardener, who year after year produces crops, fruit, tenfold seeds, 100-fold seeds for the next season. She hears the word and understands it because she's practiced it for so long. And she's always willing to share in the bounty of the season, to share in the harvest, to share with a neighbor, but even greater, she's always willing to help when her neighbor is ready to start a garden of their own. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ's living word in heart, the kingdom of God is near. Amen.